Welcome as you join us from the Christian Revival Church, Rockingham.
As we pray, Lord, I just ask you that you would touch every single life in this place, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you would strengthen faith in this place, Lord Jesus. Faith to the point where we realize you will not fail. You will not fail us, Lord. You won't let us go. You won't let us down. You said you would be with us to the end of the age, Lord God. I pray right now for that confidence in our hearts. That confidence, Lord God. That peace, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray right now where there might be storms raging, Lord, in the hearts of your people. I pray, Lord God, you bring peace. Peace to those storms. Storms in the mind, storms in relationships, storms in family, Lord God. You would bring peace to that. I pray, Lord Jesus. A calmness and confidence in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place. Amen. It's so good to be back here with everyone after the holidays. Before you are seated, go greet someone again. Tell them they're looking amazing. Give them a high five or something. Tell them they look better than they did before. You are looking better than the last time I saw you. Amen. Everyone's looking better than the last time I saw them. We're looking happier. I don't know. Was it the sun? The tanning? The swimming? The holiday? Amen. How's everyone doing this morning? Good? Okay, we've got a few amens there. But the rest, after this, I'm going to ask the same question. How's everyone doing? And I'm going to hear even better response. Amen. Just send greetings once again from Pastor Clive and Sharon. I know Pastor Clive was here last week. So super, super excited about the church. Planning a lot for Rockingham right here in the south. So be expectant. On that note, before I continue any further, I just want to thank Rebecca for setting up, you know, every single week. But with that being said, we are a church of team, right here in Wangara, all over the world. So Monday night, we're going to have a meeting, we'll have Teams meeting, Zoom, you name it. If you could set that up, Rebecca, send it to everyone. If you want to be part of, especially helping setting up the team to set up in the morning, to do lights, whatever it is, then jump on that. We're going to discuss that because we want to form a team. Amen? Yeah, there we go. We do this together. There's an old saying that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So we're going to form a team for that, a strong team. Amen? Two is better than one. And when you have three, that's a powerful combo, at least. Amen. So we're going to form a team for the setup again. Get that going again. Get some organization in terms of that. And, you know, as a Christian, getting involved in some way is probably one of the best things you can do. Doing something beyond yourself that doesn't necessarily serve yourself, but serves others, is a great thing. Who knows that? Who knows? That's one of the foundational principles of Christianity. Amen? Yeah. Oh, that was a strong amen I got there. Serving. Helping. Doing something. Whatever you can do. Amen? Whatever you can do, do it. Yes. So I know there's a lot of people that maybe don't have the physical ability that wish they could do something. Right? So those who can, whatever you can do, put your hand to do it for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. So we'll have that Monday night. Then even if you can't make it, just send through, tell Rebecca, say, man, I want to get involved. What can I do? How can I serve? How can I help? We've got an amazing team. Sandra's out there right now. Every single morning. Josie, the kids' church, every single Sunday. Absolutely powerful, phenomenal people. So let's just give a hand clap again for them. I'm taking time on this because I'm going to speak a bit about faith this morning, but one of the expressions of faith is action. Faith without action, works is
dead.
Faith without action is dead. So James says, if you want to show me your faith, show me the actions. If you believe God for great things, show me you attempting great things at least. Right? If you believe God's the God of the impossible, and He's going to do the impossible through your life, show me some actions where you are attempting the impossible. Amen. It's very easy to say, God can do great things on the couch. It's another thing when you are facing that storm head on, when you're facing that lion head on, when you're facing that giant head on. I saw this amazing quote this morning. I shared it on social media. Patrick Beck David, great, a solid Christian, very powerful businessman as well. He said, sometimes God will give you a Goliath to bring out the David in you. And if you don't have your Goliath, go find him. I don't want to face Goliath. The only way David became king was by slaying Goliath. If he never slayed Goliath, nobody would have known him. He never would have become king, ultimately. Amen. I sat with my leaders up north with the young adults on Wednesday, and we had a meeting, and we all concurred. I told them, and they all finally said, you know what, you're right. I said, unfortunately, in the world we live in today, a lot of people have become soft. Because we are in a society, and this is not even my sermon, this, you're getting this for free, people. You're getting some of the leftovers from Wednesday night. Powerful meeting, very powerful meeting, super inspired with faith. But I started off and I started saying that, and people you could see were a bit uncomfortable, but as I began to explain that everything in this world says to you, take the easy route, take the easy route. Once you have a bit of a challenge, put the challenge away. Comfort is the name of the game. The most comfortable shoes, the quickest food. Amen? It's the world we live in today. And what we don't realize is that comfortable decision after comfortable decision, we're destroying our willpower. But Jesus says, deny yourself. I know you didn't want to hear this first thing in the morning. Deny yourself. Alicia said to me, man, I see you doing all this running and going to do triathlons. I want to run a marathon this year, stuff like that. One of the reasons I got into it is because I remember last year at the beginning of the year, the moment I started having a jog, the first 5 meters, I felt like a whale. And I was like, I hate this. I can't do this. This sucks. Right? And when I started training again, I'm like, this sucks. But it's doing that that develops that perseverance. That mindset that says, don't quit. It's one of the reasons I want to do it. Just to develop, get a bit harder, just face a bit of a challenge. Amen. Now let me ask you the question, how on earth do you think you're going to use your faith for great things when you can't even, when you face a bit of difficulty, you say, no, let me avoid my Goliath. Faith will take you head long right into the face of the giant, the storm. Because faith without works is dead. If you have faith to slay the giant, you're going to have to go face the giant. But David says, before I even took on the giant, I first had to face the lion and the bear. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I can't wake up early to go sit up. That's tough, man. That's tough. I need my sleep. I know. But imagine living a life, your whole life, where it's based on what's the most easy and comfortable thing you can do. Where will you end up? Every time there's a bit of adversity, you say no. Every time there's a bit of opposition, you say no. Every time there's a bit of discomfort, you say no. Where will you end up in life? Do you really think that's the life that possesses the promises of God and the destiny in the end? What did they say when it came to the promised land? We be not able. Those giants are too big. We are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Let us take the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance is the path of actually dying in the wilderness. The Bible says, by faith they subdued kingdoms. Out of weakness were made strong. They turned armies and made armies fled. Let me ask you a question. How much energy, effort, sweat, tears, muscle cramps do you think it takes to subdue a whole kingdom? Right, it took a bit of sweat. I can tell you now, those guys subduing kingdoms didn't just sit on the couch all day every day and say, okay, let's get up and subdue a kingdom. Let's run. And then after 50 meters of running to possess the city, they'll... It's how I felt when I started swimming again, like after the first lap. Dizzy. Like, we don't think about the reality of these things. Wake up in a comfortable bed, super soft, which is amazing. Thank God for that, because there's nothing worse than a bad bed. Go get my morning coffee. Climb in the car. Amazing, super smooth ride. Go sit in the office on a super comfortable chair. Look at a computer screen all day. Get back into my comfortable car. Ride again. Go sit on my comfortable couch and watch a very entertaining television program. And then I go and I lie in my nice, soft bed. Let's be real, family. Let's be real. Why are you saying this all, David? I'm saying, guys, we need a team that's going to get here early on a Sunday morning and set up.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Okay. I know the silence. Don't worry. When I was speaking to my young adult leaders, there was a lot of silence. There's a lot of silence, and then everyone was like, yeah, no, you're right. I said, if we're going to do, we've set amazing goals, and we're going to set amazing goals right here. I said, my brother and sister, I know you're inspired right now, but to become the person God has called you to be, you're going to have to maybe wake up earlier in the morning and do some prayer. You're going to maybe have to skip that movie on a Friday night when you don't feel like it, because the Holy Spirit's prompting you to go lock yourself in your room and pray for 3 or 4 hours and seek the Lord. We know what we need to do many times in life to have the breakthrough, but guess what? It just sucks. It's a bit harder. It takes a bit of effort. It takes a bit of sweat. Jesus sweated like great drops of blood, the Bible says. So don't worry, you're in good company. To turn your life around, it's going to take a bit of energy and effort. You can be super inspired this morning. I can give you a great word. And you can say, that is the truth and that's what I need to change my life. But the real test happens tomorrow morning when you wake up and you hear the alarm clock. And you're like, sleep, snooze. This is the part of Christianity we don't want to hear. So let me just get into my sermon then. Amen. 2 Kings Chapter 6, verse 24. So the title of my sermon is Overflow. 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 So everybody knows that the theme at CRC International is Overflow, the year of overflow. By the way, I just want to mention, we'll have it in the announcements, that we've got a link for counseling needs, an email. So if you ever have counseling needs, please email that. It goes straight to Pastor Sharon. We never ever want anyone to feel like they've got a need and they can't get help. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So we've got that email. It's super confidential, straight to Pastor Sharon. You need that. She will organize, reach out, because everybody's need matters here. Okay? Members of CRC, you matter.
Yes.
So never feel like you aren't heard. Please use it. We'll have it in the announcements at the end. Okay, overflow. That's the theme of this year. Now, many times people hear overflow And I'm preaching a similar sermon to what I preached last week in Wangara. Same passage, similar principles, but more directed to us here in Rockingham. When we hear overflow, ask yourself, what do you think of when you think of overflow? A lot of people are thinking, man, I've had a tough 2023. I don't want overflow of more problems. Overflow of more fears, overflow of more challenges. Well, that's the mindset you're going to have to start with. What overflow are you going to believe for this year? Because I'm going to believe for an overflow of blessing, an overflow of prosperity, an overflow of advancement, an overflow of peace. Life and death, God says, your choice. Choose life. So the overflow we want is great overflow. And one of the reasons I preached this message and this really took hold of me is because I've spoken to a lot of people, and a lot of people had a very difficult 2023. Almost more difficult than the year of COVID 2020 and the year after that with the mandates. A lot of people have had more challenges last year than they did the previous years. I really believe it is spiritual. And I can say for myself, I had more giants to slay, to face last year than I did the last 5 years accumulated prior to that. So we can easily come to the beginning of this year, we're so worn down from last year, they were like, I'm just going to survive another year. David is saying overflow, CRC all around the world is saying overflow, but really, is that just another motivational word? And that's the choice, my brother and sister, that we have to make. Am I going to possess overflow, or am I just going to survive through the year? So the title of last week was Faith for Overflow. It's the same thing. There's going to have to be a shift in your life in faith when it comes to overflow. There might have to be intentional changes you make in your life to get into the place that God wants you to be. Amen? But the worst thing you can do is just cruise through this year based on what happened last year. Knocked down a few times maybe last year. Stumbling into the end of the year. You're like, oh, I made it. I just made it through. Thank God. And now you are in the same mindset. The amazing thing about God, he's a God of seasons, of new beginnings, of new days. It doesn't matter how bad your day was yesterday. The night came where you could have a sleep, hopefully you slept, and you could wake up with a new day. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. So you have another day, another go. You have another year, another go. Now, no matter how bad it might be, I'm going to tell you, my brother and sister, it's worse for others out there in many respects. There's somebody that's faced a harder challenge than you. And the reason I'm saying that is not to say your challenges don't matter. What I'm trying to tell you is that you are not alone in facing difficult circumstances. One of the lies of the enemy is when we're going through a difficult time is that we're here. It's only you that's suffering with this. It's only you that suffers. God is blessing all these other people, but you not. Because He's rejected you. Now that sounds ludicrous until you're in a circumstance like that. So something might need to change in your life. Something might need to shift in your life. You might need to make a decision today, this week, before the end of this month, that you say, I refuse to allow what happened last year to continue in my life. I refuse. And let's get into it. I'm preaching too much. I just need to preach the scripture. Verse 24, 2 Kings chapter 6. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head. Now, look, I've never bought a donkey's head. But this donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. And 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Now, Now you might look at that and it's Greek to you. It's also kind of Greek to me. But the point of this is inflation. And I think inflation is all very well understood to us over here. The cost of living has risen dramatically for these people. There is a shortage of food. And the economy has spiraled. Very similar to, or even worse, but similar to our housing market currently. I think I said this year, maybe 2 months ago. But I saw one day, someone was advertising the back of their van. You could house yourself in the back of somebody's Ford Transit for $150 a week if you need a bed. People are desperate. Right now, there's a lot of families up north that need a place to stay. You can camp out on the front of my lawn. $500 a week.
Yeah,
there's a tent. Now, if you've got a place, you're not even feeling it. But there's a lot of people that are struggling. A lot. And I know the political reasons. We know why. That's not the point. The point is there's a challenge. So they had a massive challenge here. Massive challenge in the economy. Guess what? These are the people of God is talking about. So you're not alone in that. Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, the king of Israel, the great anointed king, a woman cried out to him saying, "Help, my lord, O king." Verse 27. And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" Now, I want to make this point. I found that a lot of Christians, after the last few years, a lot of churches, a lot of church leaders, and I don't say this in a derogatory sense, I'm just saying it's a fact that I've seen, is that the challenges people have faced have been so big that they've gotten to the point where they've lost all inner capacity to take action to make a difference. So they've entered a place of resignation where it's like, these problems are all too big. May God help you. Only God knows. You know that one? Only God knows. That's the king. That's the man anointed by God with all the power of the treasury, all the power of the army, and all the lawmaking power in the land. The most powerful man in the land is like, he can't even help this woman. He's like, sorry, look to God. A lot of people, after seeing the challenges, have entered that place. And I get it. We see the challenges are so big, we're like, what can I do alone? What can I do? So it's like, I've lost hope trying to even win my friends to Jesus. May God help them. I've lost hope. We've lost hope trying to impact our community for Jesus. May God help the community. I've lost hope even trying to change my life unless God comes with an angel and does it for me. Nothing's changing. We've resigned ourselves to incapacity, inability because of the challenges that we faced. And that's exactly what's happened to the king over here. So I wonder if you're in that place this morning. Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, and this woman said to him, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.'" So the challenge of the famine and the economy is so bad that people have turned to cannibalism. I know you're going through a tough time. I know it's difficult. I know you feel like the world is ending. But I want to tell you, there's people that have faced much tougher times. You're not alone. There's people with you, even now. You might not know them personally, but going through difficult times. So it's helpful to look at that and think, well, actually, maybe my problem's not that big. Like, I'm not starving to the point where I'm thinking of cannibalizing my own young. Now you say, that's crazy. Well, have you been in a circumstance like that? People say, oh, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, have you been there? That's why it's also important not to judge when we see people doing certain actions. You don't know the context. You don't know what's happening. Maybe just provide some support. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. So not only did she eat her own son, she was scammed. All right. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes and he passed by on the wall and people looked and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. Then he said, this is very interesting. So he hears, remember, the king has actually, despite his resignation, incapacity and inability, he's been sitting in his nice ivory tower. Then he gets on the ground and he sees the reality of the situation of what's happening, how bad the famine is, how bad the hunger is. And he tears his clothes. He goes into a time of mourning. But this is very interesting. This is the reaction. And I think it's a reaction that's very similar to a lot of religious people. And when when I use the word religious, you know I'm using it in a derogatory sense. In a contemptuous sense, as I always do. Then he said, God, do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? In the worst situation, now, for those who don't know who Elisha is the great prophet of God on the earth at the time. Elisha is the man that worked double the miracles of Elijah. The great prophet. What's interesting is once he hears that, there's no accountability. Let me get before God and cry out to him for an answer because look at the situation. No. It's like, it's somebody else's fault. It's the prophet's fault. It's the church's fault. It's the pastor's fault. It's that home cell leader's fault. The stone throwing becomes a big thing to the religious. I'm in a bad situation. I've got the stone. Who can I throw it at? Who can I blame? And you think this is crazy because the one guy on the face of the planet that could solve the problem is the guy he wants to kill. Sometimes the person you are having a go at, you want, it's actually the person that might bring the answer. I know this one out of experience. I've seen it more than not. But like, it's that person's fault. No. You take responsibility. You're the king. You're anointed by God to lead the people. My life is in shambles. It's that person's fault. No, it's your life. You take responsibility. But suddenly, let's throw the stone. I said up north, I'll say, yeah. Instead of throwing the stone to kill the prophet, maybe throw the stone, sling the stone to slay the Goliath. Okay. But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him, but before the messenger came to him, Elisha said to the elders, do you see how the son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? So he's going after Elisha. He's lost it. Lost the plot. He's going to go after Elisha. A lot of people out here going after churches, going after preachers, going after some church leader. A lot of religious people. In fact, it's more religious people in their cynicism and their holes of discouragement that are attacking other churches. It's like, I had to upload Facebook again because I wanted to jump on Marketplace. But I deleted that app because 90% of the time, once I go on that app, I see some religious, cynical nutcase writing their long-winded passages about how all the churches are coming under judgment, all the preachers are coming under judgment, it's all their fault. And I look and I know the person, I'm like, bro, what are you doing? What are you doing? Is that the kind of person you want to be? Let us refrain from trying to kill Elishas, the church, Christians, and focus on slaying Goliaths. Maybe solve the famine, right, that's in your life. Maybe focus on that. Trust God for some rain, for some breakthrough, as opposed to who can I throw the stone at? Instead of living in a victimhood mentality, a cynical attitude. Now sure, the guy had difficult circumstances. He had mass responsibility. And it was difficult for him. But we see the way he starts to express it in a destructive way. And so they send the guy in verse 33. And while he was still talking with him, there was a messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, now have a listen to this. Watch the progression from, may God help you, only God can do this. You know, it's in God's hand. Unless an angel comes, nothing's changing in my life, in this city, in the church, blah, 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 to let's destroy the prophet. To thirdly, listen to what the king says. Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Somebody see the progress of cynicism here, of unbelief, of resignation. From, may God help you, good luck with that, to, it's God's fault. Ever been there? This is your fault, God. Why should I ever wait for God? Well, one thing I can tell you, he was never truly waiting on the Lord for anything. King David says, wait on the Lord and he will strengthen your heart. I would have lost heart, but I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, I say, wait on the Lord and he will give you courage. He will strengthen your heart. This man has everything but a strengthened heart and courage. Never waited on God. But that's the point. The cynical place of discouragement we get through difficult times, maybe through a very difficult 2023, we can get to the point, we progress through the year, after facing the challenges to God, man, if he ain't showing up, nothing's happening. Good luck with that. To actually, it's God's fault. Why should I even serve God any longer? That's where the king has progressed to. What's the point of even going to church? What's the point of even praying anymore? What's the point of all of this? Am I speaking to someone this morning? This isn't my story. This is the Bible. Yeah. So in case I wrote this quickly to share with you. No. I'm just reading from the scripture here. Yes. Then Elisha said, so the king makes this declaration of failure and it's God's fault. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seer of fine flour will be sold for a shekel and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So Elisha says, listen here, tomorrow at this time, the whole situation will change. The whole nation will change in a day, in one day. In one moment, the whole situation, all of this pain will be reversed. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in the heaven, could this thing be? I mean, so that's the place. Now they've heard the answer, but the spirit of unbelief, resignation, discouragement is so strong. It's like, ain't gonna happen. And we get it. And he said, now this is one of the saddest statements in the Bible. And Elisha said to him, in fact, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. There's one thing I've learned. When God gives you a promise, do not come with your unbelieving statement. Every time you hear a statement of faith, like this is a lesson. Like, write this down in your heart. That every time you hear a statement of faith, a proclamation of faith, never be that person that says, can it be? I don't know. Lest the response to your unbelief is, you'll see it, but you won't eat it. Like when the angel said to, was it Zechariah, your wife's going to have a son, the prophet John. He's like, bam, he was struck, dumb. Yeah. We're not going to let that unbelieving tongue say anything more. One phrase of, we be not able. We be not able, the giants are too big. One little, like it's a paragraph almost. And God's like, cool, stay in the wilderness till you die. Every time you hear a statement of faith, watch the response in your head and in your heart. Always. This guy said, man, I hear you speaking about overflow, but can it even be? Elisha says, yep, you'll see it, but you won't taste it. You don't want to be the person this year that sees other people step out in faith, walk in blessing, and you just see it. And you stay the same. Because you've chosen to remain at the same place, the same level, the same point of action. But they stepped up and said, I'm going to possess. I refuse. Come hell or high water, I'm going to possess the promises of God. I refuse to stay the same. Whatever sacrifice I need to make, I'm going to make it to step into the promises of God. If I need to wake up a bit earlier in the morning, that's cool. I'm going to let that sleep go. Let somebody else push the snooze button. I'm going to seek the Lord until I find my answer. Because overflow is coming for me. I choose it. I choose life. So, fast forward, just to a spoiler alert or the whole thing. Yes, the miracle comes and that guy gets trampled to death at the end. He sees the breakthrough and he dies from the stampede of people running for goods. You know what's interesting? The cannibal, she saw it and she ate of it as well. But unbelief is that thing that will keep you. Yeah. Not some random sin of, I got drunk and I smoked and I cursed and whatever. That's not the thing that will keep you out of the promised land. People think it is. It's not. It's unbelief. I've said this multiple times. I'll say it again. Many times through my life, people come up to me and they're crying and they're sad, they need help, they need counsel because they've sinned or they've messed up. Not once in my life has anybody ever come to me crying, weeping, saying, I need to repent. And I say, what do you need to repent of? And they say, unbelief. Not once in my life. No one's ever come and confessed that sin to me. Because the Bible says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Nobody's ever done that. Now, one or two of my leaders, they say, David, I need help. I'm in a bit of unbelief here. Or they preface when they say a certain comment to me, they say, look, I'm going to say something, but this is not unbelief. Because they know I'm going to say, hey, I see that unbelief. Unbelief. They see the just live by? One of the biggest privileges I've had over the last while to sit with some young guys and teach them about the just will live by faith and see them set free. Unbelief. You know, I think about this, the reality of the situation that Jesus, when he was walking on earth, a lot of people think the apostles and the disciples were like old men with beards, like 60-year-old men. No. Jesus was 30 years old, so he's my age when he started his ministry, which is crazy when I think about it. And the majority of the disciples were teenagers. They say John was maybe the great apostle of love, was maybe 13 years old when Jesus said, follow me. Now, these guys are experiencing a testosterone spike of like 5,000%. I'm sure there was a lot of things that Jesus could have said. Hey,
let me just rebuke you quickly. Let me just, I know what you thought right there.
There's only one thing Jesus ever rebukes his disciples for. Unbelief. One thing. See, but the whole modern Christian culture, it's all like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Unbiblical. It's actually faith. Do this. You hear testimonies of how people have come to Christ these days, and it's always, I'm following Christ because I used to do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. And I'm thinking, tell me something that you do now. Tell me how you no longer fear and you take risks in your life. You've stepped out and started a supernatural business. You've now changed your community around you. You've done X, Y, Z. You used to sit around depressed, but now you're a person of action. Where's the faith?
Yeah. Good. Yep.
Not good Christians don't smoke and don't drink. I know I say that and people get offended. But they get more offended at that than the fact that people just live in unbelief. Nobody gets offended. Are you in unbelief? It's okay, my brother. Are you in fear? That's okay. Well, not for Jesus.
Yeah.
Not for him. That's what he rebukes. In fact, when he encounters unbelief with his disciples the one time, he says this. He says, "O perverse generation, how long will I bear with you? So it's interesting, the cannibal enters the overflow, but the unbeliever doesn't. Just let that mess with your theology for a moment. Just let it sit there, let it cook. Let it just cook for a bit. How dare you? How dare you, Elisha, say that? I'm sure there was a whole bunch of people doing evil things at that day that you could have walked around to and said, you will not have the overflow, you will not have the breakthrough. But you chose the opposite? Just because he said he's unsure? Yeah, unbelief. Okay, so verse 3. But last comment on that, but it just shows you what our Christian culture has become, so unbiblical, so far from the gospel. You go say, man, I messed up. I took drugs. And he was like, bro. Heathen. I'm not saying do that. But it's like heathen. Oh, I'm living in unbelief. That's okay. We all are. That's how we respond. I've heard Christians, or let me say this, the contemptuous term, religious people judge others for many, many things, except one thing, unbelief.
Yeah.
Oh, have you seen how she dresses? You see how he speaks? You see what he's doing? I've literally never heard them say, unbelief. Let's just judge him for unbelief. Because people don't even think it's a sin. In fact, the Bible says anything done without faith is sin. That's the issue there, unbelief. So you want some overflow? You're going to have to get rid of that unbelief. You're going to want to change your life? Well, you're going to have to believe you can change your life firstly. I know we like to hear, thou shalt not, because it's controllable. It's a different story when you say faith, because now there's a positive duty on you to act. I can't just sit in my couch and be safe anymore. I've got to go attempt something for God. I've got to step out and make a difference. I can't just cruise along in mediocrity and avoid these things. It's not good enough. It means nothing. Faith. Okay, so you will eat of it, but you will not. You'll see it, but you will not eat of it. Verse 3. Now have a look at this. I love this, what the scripture does. What we call a juxtaposition. You see the most powerful man in the nation. Now the Bible's going to place these other dudes right next to them and show the difference. Verse 3, now there were four leprous men. Right? Four lepers. Once again, I know you got challenges. These guys had challenges. You know what leprosy is?
Yeah.
So, apart from the fact of the disease, these men were outcasts. These men had no social circles. They were outcasts, lived outside the city, away from everyone. Everyone's like, when they see them, they're like, unclean, unclean, unclean. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, phrase of the year, why are we sitting here until we die? Why are we sitting here until we die? Why am I going to sit in my depression until I die? Why am I going to sit in my anxiety until I die? Why am I going to sit in my unbelief until I die? Why am I going to sit in this failing, in this trauma, in the setback, in the discouragement, in what happened in 2023 until I die? Why are we sitting here until we die? Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we will live. And if they kill us, we will only die. These are the men, fast forward, that obtained the breakthrough for the whole nation. Because they had an attitude that the king should have had. Why do this nothing, whatever I'm doing, until the whole nation perishes? Let me do something. Faith without action is, why sit here until we die? But the amazing thing is that they were willing to face death. They realized right now at this point, we're going to go forward and see what's going to happen. And we might face death there. But there's one thing we are certain of. If we stay here, we shall die. The risk of death is forward, but also the risk of breakthrough is there. The reward of breakthrough. The possibility of a turnaround is there. The possibility is there. But one thing I'm certain about is if I stay with the same mindset, if I stay in the same place, if I stay with the same old excuses, I'm dying in that. Why are we going to sit here until we die? That's a question one has to ask themselves. Am I going to sit in the same place, in the same complaint, the same attitude, the same nothingness? So we started off right at the beginning, and I spoke a bit about action. Maybe you're going to have to suffer a bit. Maybe you're going to have to do something you don't like. It's fun to sit around. But why sit there until you die? That's the temptation. Feel sorry for yourself. Feel bad for yourself. But these guys have a totally different mindset compared to the king, who is resigned to, let's see what God does. It's God's fault. Why wait on God? Versus men with no social standing, no power, nothing, but had the mindset that brought the breakthrough, which was, why sit here until we die? If I can do something, I'm going to have to do it. Whatever I can do, I'm going to do. I know God is with me. I know He is for me. So let me get up and do something. And let me step out. I don't know what's going to work, but I know that I can't just sit here and die. I can't just sit in this depression and feel sorry for myself. I'm going to have to make a move. I'm going to have to move forward. I'm going to have to do something. So they say to each other, why are we just going to sit here until we die? Yeah, it might be a month later that we die, but we're going to die if we stay here. Yes, we might face instant death if we go forward and do this. But guess what? There's the reward of a turnaround, of survival till the end of our lives. There is something that can happen, something that can change. So they take the step of faith. Like Peter says, if that's you, Lord, tell me to get out of the boat, walk in the water. Doesn't matter that he sank later. He still walked on water. That's the mindset, my brothers and sisters, of somebody that's going to access the overflow. It's like, I can't sit in the failures of 2023, of 2022, of 2021, of 2020. I can't sit in the discouragement. I can't sit in the unforgiveness. I can't sit in the bitterness and die. I can't sit in the unbelief that I've been sitting in and just die. I'm going to have to get up and go. So what does that mean? My brother and sister, there's a bit of responsibility laid on your shoulders. See, the God of the breakthrough, the God of Elisha, was always there. God never left them. God delivered them. But the people that accessed the deliverance, guess who? Four lepers. Who just thought, man, why sit here till we die? As I was reading this, the scripture that came to mind about these four lepers was Romans 12 verse 2, which says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. Why do I say that? Because the one thing that was different about these guys is they were isolated from everybody else. Everybody, they were isolated from the cannibals, right? They were isolated from those people, the crowd that had been saying, there's no hope, there's no future. We're at the point of eating our children out here. They were isolated from that negativity, that unbelief. Don't be conformed. They were not conformed to the rest of the city. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wonder how you are being conformed in the unbelief. Who are you surrounding yourself with? What voices are you listening to that wants to keep you in that negative place, in that place of depression and anxiety? Maybe it's your own voice that you need to shut down and replace with the Word of God. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Why are we sitting here until we die? Why are we sitting here until we die? So they go forward, and what ultimately happens is they realize that all of the Syrians have fled, because the Lord caused the army of the Syrians, verse 6, to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to attack us. So they fled. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, they ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. So they started to get their treasure together. And then they came back into the tent, carried some more from there also, and went and hid it. So these guys, from lepers with nothing, became rich men in an instant. But then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. And we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. What's very interesting, if you keep on reading, they go back, they deliver the news. The king doesn't say, glory, glory, hallelujah, God has delivered us. His response is, it's a trap. And he ignored it ultimately. See, sometimes that door is open, the prison door is open, as we talk about, the analogy we like to use. The prison door is open. But you stay in that prison because of unbelief. You stay there. It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true that all I have to do is walk out of the situation. It's too good to be true. I have the power over my mind, my thoughts, I have free will. I don't need to think those negative thoughts anymore. Yep, you don't. I don't have to live in depression. Yeah, you don't. God's with you. The Spirit of the living God is for you. You don't need to stay in that unbelief. You can get up and go. You don't need to live in that place of anxiety. I told somebody that about 2 weeks ago. They said, no, I'm a very anxious person. So I said, stop. Stop being anxious. Like, what do you mean? It doesn't work like that. I said, it does. Don't tell me you got the Spirit of the living God. God Himself is for you. You got the Word of God. And the more I challenged it and said, just stop. It's like, And she's right, I don't have a response to that. But she chose her identities. I'm anxious. I get anxious. That's who I am. Now, the response, what would Elisha say to that? If Elisha said, you can walk out, and he said, no, I can't. Many times the word of God comes to us, the Spirit of God whispers to us, you can step out. And we're like, nope, can't do it. Can't happen. Unbelief. Shut the door. The king says, no, it's not going to happen. And they would have died in that place with the answer. Luckily, there were some servants of the king who said, let us go check. We are willing to risk our lives. So they went out and they confirmed and everything changed. But once again, just like the lepers who said, why sit here till we die? There were some servants who had to say to the king, we're willing to die. Let's go check. We're not going to sit here and cower and be afraid. Let me go check. Let's go. It's the mindset, my brother and sister, of somebody who's going to access overflow, who's going to step out of where they are, step out of the place of famine, spiritual famine, mental famine, whatever kind of famine it is. And possess the promise of God. Maybe right now, you in that position. The enemy fled a long time ago. But you're sitting in fear, paralyzed. The breakthrough's there, but you're paralyzed in fear and in unbelief. You are imprisoning yourself. You know, in the law, you get a cause of action called false imprisonment. And you can imprison somebody without bars. You can use fear to imprison someone. And that the law recognizes that it's false imprisonment. You say to someone, if you step out of this box, I'm going to kill you. They're too afraid to move. It's false imprisonment. Many people have falsely imprisoned themselves. I can't take that risk. I can't forgive that person. I can't step out and take on the giant. There's no bars. I can't walk out of the depression, the suicidal tendencies, the anxiety. There's no bars. It's up here. So, I close with this. 2024, year of overflow. It's your choice. What kind of person are you going to be? You might have all the ability like the king. And I'm telling you now, as a child of God, you do. You might have all the wisdom like the king. He was anointed by God. You do. You are not poor. You are not starving. If you don't have food, there's the food bank. We've got the storehouse. There's people, support. But still, you might have resigned yourself to that place where it's God's fault. Unless God does something, nothing's going to change. Are you going to be that person? Or even as you hear good news that, man, you can make a change. Things can change in your life. Like the officer, you say, even if God made windows even in the heaven, there will be no, there can there even be overflow? Can there even be a change? Can I even, I've been like this the last 10 years. Can anything change? Are you going to be that person? Or are you going to be like these other brothers? Let's say, why sit here in this same place, in this sadness, in this unbelief, till I die? Let me get forward. Let me start moving. Let me go. Let me do whatever I can do. Whether it's just, maybe all you can do is pray every day. Maybe all you can do is worship God every day. Maybe all you can do is read the Word of God. Well, do something. Do something. Do something. Do something. All I could do when I started getting fit, I could just run that 1K. He said, David, you look fit, you look strong. Hey, well, in my mind, I was not. Yeah. I had to break those barriers. Maybe all you can do, confess the word. We'll do that. But why sit in the same place until you die? Maybe all you can do is dream and visualize and have the vision. A vision of faith that you are going to be a different person. We'll start there. In fact, it all starts there. Without vision, the people perish, the Bible says. Whatever you can do, do. But don't sit in the same place until you die. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you now, Lord. You said you would never leave us, you would never forsake us. You would never leave us, you would never forsake us. Lord, I pray now that you just root out unbelief. Lord, where we've become cynical, where we've become so discouraged, where we've gotten to the point where we just blame others and everyone. Lord, I pray you just begin to remove that from our hearts. Remove that mentality. Remove those thought processes. Remove that and put in our hearts that faith, Lord God. A mindset shift, a heart shift, a shift in our spirits, Lord Jesus. I pray for that now, a gift of faith. Lord, even as a church, we make a decision not to just stay the same, not to just sit like we are, but to get up and make a difference, change things. Where we can make things better, we will make it better, Lord God. Where we can be what you want us to be, we will step forward and do it, Lord Jesus. I pray for that now, Lord God. Lord, I even pray for a team that will emerge, a team that will say, man, we're not just going to let things go as they are. Let's make a difference. I pray for that now. Lord, home cells, home cell leaders. I pray for that now in the name of Jesus. Do a work. Just for a moment, as we play some music in the background, whatever the Holy Spirit has highlighted to you, maybe it is just that negativity. Maybe it is that deep unbelief. Just give it to God. Just give it to the Lord. Just place your burden upon Him. Maybe you realize you identify with the King. You've just gone to the place of resignation where, man, you are incapable. Give that to God. Let Him fill you with new faith. New faith. Maybe you've been sitting in the same toxic emotion for months. Give it to God. Let's just play some music there. And just take a moment and speak to the Lord. Speak to God. Thank you for that now, Holy Spirit. That work. Right now, I'd just like to pray. It's like every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're in this place this morning, and as I've been speaking, you realize, man, I don't know Jesus. I don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. If I had to die today, I cannot say with certainty that I'd be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for eternity. You don't have that peace with God, that assurance of salvation. Or maybe you're in this place and at one time you served God, but you've grown cold. You've walked away. You've walked away. But you realize this morning it's time to get back. You cannot sit in the same place until you die. You've got to get up and follow Christ again. You've got to follow God again. You've got to follow Him once again. And you feel that the Lord's calling you back, saying, come on, it's time to follow me. Follow me. Maybe you're one of those two people. You need to give your life to Jesus, or you need to recommit your life to Him. Well, I want to tell you, doesn't matter where you've been, how low you've sunk, He loves you, and He's got a plan for your life. But He calls you to the point where you have to make that choice in faith to follow Him. So that's you this morning. I want to pray for you. With every head bowed and nobody looking, if you say, David, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to become a child of God. I want my sins washed away. Or you say, David, I need to resurrender my life. I need to recommit my life to the Lord Jesus this morning. If that's you, I want you to be bold and raise your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. I need to give my life to Jesus, or I need to come back to the Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that hand. If you're in this place, don't worry about anybody else. Don't fear anybody else. Just be true to what you know is happening in your heart. You know you need to come back to the Lord, or you need to give your life to Jesus. You want to make that choice. One last time. You say, that's me, David. Pray for me. Just raise your hands. Say, that's me. Pray for me. Thank you for that. Let's also pray this together. Let's pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender all. Wash me. Cleanse me. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill your love inside of me. Pour your power inside of me. In Jesus' name. Amen.